This is Series Tea, where we find the greatest entrepreneurs and investors in the world and force them to have tea with us live on air. I'm Umar Dhakhan, founder and CEO of Mercury. And today we are having tea with Alison Barr Allen. Alison is the COO and co-founder of Fast, a one-click login and checkout startup that recently raised $20 million Series A from Stripe and Index Ventures. Previously, she was head of product operations for the money team at Uber. She's also an angel investor with Trial Run Capital. Alison, thanks for having tea with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Do you actually have tea?
I have coffee.
Oh, no. The betrayal of the system. We actually, I think, met like a year and a bit ago, and your life has changed like remarkably since then. So you started angel investing, then you left Uber and joined Fast as a co-founder. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
I was at Uber for 5 years, really focused on payments and financial products there. I started at Uber in an ops role in Chicago. It was a role called driver operations, and we really focused end-to-end on the driver experience. And I focused on the city of Chicago specifically. Through that, I just really learned a lot about startup operations. We did everything from helping drivers with in-person support and uploading all of their documents to doing a lot of marketplace planning and special events and payments and you name it. We really worked on it in the city. Through that experience, I got a lot of hands-on experience working directly with drivers. So most people may not know this, but at the time, Uber had a lot of in-person driver support centers where drivers would come almost 7 days a week to get in-person support. We joked that it was sort of a DMV for Uber drivers. What really struck me was payments were incredibly important. If there was an issue with their payment, or they didn't get it on time, or they didn't understand why they got paid a certain amount, it was incredibly emotional for them. I just believed it was like such an incredibly important part of what we were doing at Uber. And it was vital to get it right for the drivers. So then what ended up happening was I moved to San Francisco a little over 4 years ago, and Uber had a role called product operations, where we took people from city teams and embedded them within product teams. I learned a lot about product strategy and thinking about the long-term roadmap and how we can sort of think at a global scale about what products Uber should invest in. So I ended up growing a team there of about 10 or 12 people globally who focused on product strategy and scaling and launching products. And then about 6 months ago, I joined Fast as the co-founder and COO.
What's like the quick kind of 10-second like spiel on like what Fast is doing?
Yeah, so Fast is building a one-click passwordless checkout. So our goal is to be, we're building one-click checkout for the internet. Our goal is to be on every device, every type of browser, and sort of every type of company. And we really believe that payments and checkout is crucial for all types of businesses, no matter the industry or the vertical or the size of your business. And it's sort of a common, huge problem that still impacts almost every company that does business online. So right now you have a one-to-one relationship with every business you interact with. You have to create an account, you have to enter your payment information, and it's really stored one-to-one. So our goal is to scale consumer interactions across businesses to, one, help merchants increase conversion and make it easier for people to buy things on their website, and also just make life a lot simpler for consumers so that it's a lot easier to buy things online.
Why do you think it is that like incumbent financial tools like have all of these kind of like don't really serve their customers that well? I mean, I'm sure before you built out all of this stuff at Uber, you tried to use like kind of the existing payment rails to, you know, make these payments, and similarly with Fast, you're kind of innovating around that. Like, what are like the systemic issues that like make, you know, I guess fintech possible and finance kind of suck?
I'd say a lot of it depends on sort of what payment methods have been built by banks and sort of the governments in different countries. So the UK, for example, has a faster payment method. And a lot of other countries as well have sort of built this at the government level that enables faster payments than what we have in the US. Banks also have a lot of regulatory capture here. For many banks, it's a lot better to keep things the way they are rather than sort of make it better for the consumers. And they really haven't gotten tons of pressure to improve. A lot of the innovation that I've seen in Asia and other places around payments, there's a lot of business models that exist there that we don't have yet. And I think a core reason why is we just don't have this payments and identity infrastructure layer what's really interesting is enabling micropayments at scale in a way that hasn't really been done before. Once we get to the point that our API can be released, there's a lot of different innovative business models that can be built on top of this. And right now you see a lot of companies that are springing up to, whether it's helping people charge for webinars or things like that, but a lot of these are being built in silos versus platform level.
You've made a few fintech investments and obviously you're working on kind of a payments related startup. Do you think a lot of the opportunities in fintech are at this kind of UX UI layer at the front, which is, you know, mostly where Mercury focuses as well? Or do you think there's like opportunities kind of throughout the stack where there's like payment rails or infrastructure and other things?
Just from like a personal interest, I'm definitely sort of more focused on the consumer layer. And I think that's where you've seen a lot of companies get pretty big in the past like 5 years or so. Like Mercury obviously is growing really fast. And then you see the Robinhood and others, where a lot of it is like building a much better consumer focused UI layer and building it in a way that consumers like better understand. Similar to like some of the networks and other companies, it's like, if software and user experience is not like the core focus of your business, it's like sort of pretty hard to build that like world-class experience. And obviously there's exceptions, but I don't think older banks have been particularly good at this layer.
Do you think like as these companies mature, they just become like banks over time and like kind of the experience degrades? I mean, obviously we're just in the first kind of innings of fintech, but do you think there's like a fundamental different way that a fintech company is organized that like it won't just end up being like a banking kind of experience?
Similar to how it's hard for banks to become software companies, it's probably also hard for software companies to become banks, in that it's like a whole level of regulatory work that they may not have the core skills in, so they have to build that. I think Square has like obviously done some really interesting stuff like on the consumer side and also like the B2B side, and they continue to sort of innovate a lot in this area. But for most companies, it's probably just like they're looking at the size of the opportunity versus the cost and whether it's they're going to be able to build new products with that type of licensing that they wouldn't be able to without it, or if it opens up new opportunities for them, or if it's a lot of work and they're not really able to offer new products, then they may not really see the ROI in it.
Do you think a lot of kind of ideas are done in fintech? Like there's the existing huge incumbents, but there's now new huge incumbents, right? Like whether it's like Robinhood or SoFi or Square or Wealthfront or whatever it is. Are opportunities like mostly captured for this like new wave of fintech, or do you think we're just getting started?
I think fintech is just getting started. When I first started thinking about venture capital and angel investing, I wrote an investment thesis called Frictionless Finance about 2 years ago. And this was the spring, like right after crypto, it sort of Bitcoin had hit 20K and then sort of gone back down. But this was when all these like huge like Bitcoin and crypto funds were getting set up. And everyone's like, this is the future of payments and financial services. I'd say most of what people predicted hasn't really happened. I think people did a really good job of identifying a lot of the problems, right? It's like payments need to be easier. Identity needs to be better. We need to remove a lot of this friction, but I'm not quite sure that crypto was like the right technology. I think they identified the right problem, but I'm not sure if it was the right technology, because for a lot of reasons, it generally needs to be done with sort of like in the sphere of existing regulations and sort of government identity services. But when I was like talking to investors about potentially investing full time, I tried to identify fintech focused investors, and there weren't a lot, just because there's like so much nuance in the space. Like you sort of have to have an expertise, I think, to be really good. There's obviously exceptions, but you sort of see like the Ribbits and Index and others that have really gone into this space and I think been pretty successful.
Yeah, it's true. Actually, there's not that many fintech investors, and even like every part of it, whether it's payments or lending or depository, you kind of do need to understand it a little better. Do you think that's like leading to less companies kind of forming in the space?
Even in my own personal life, I still think there's a lot of like different payment experiences that can be improved. We just bought our first condo in Tahoe, and it's still shocking to me how manual the mortgage process is. And as like a person focused on payments and identity, it's just like really painful. I'm like, wow, this is like,
but
really...
there's also so many middlemen that take like significant, like,
percent. I know, I'm like, this is like so manual. And as a founder, it's like thinking about B2B payments, you sort of have a, like, a lot of people may not realize like how much sort of like paperwork and manual payments are involved on the company building side, but it's still sort of crazy to me. And even like wire investments into companies, it's like you have to go in and check the bank statement to like confirm that the wire got received from the right person. So it's, and I think a lot of it is like people, unless you're sort of having some of these experiences, you may not realize like how big some of these problems are. And then once you or sort of have an entrepreneurial mindset, you just start seeing problems everywhere.
How do you kind of think about how you organize a company so that in the long term, kind of custom experience and like design is like at the forefront of the kind of the product that's being built? Like, is there, do you have any thoughts on like kind of business organizations that like optimize for that?
I think we've always thought about user experience and sort of ease of use from the very beginning. FAST was founded initially when Dom watched his wife's grandmother. She was unable to order groceries online. So that sort of spurred his search to think about passwords and passwordless authentication and how we can make the internet easier for people to use. And as we build our design org and our designs, it's like we joke all the time, we want FAST to be the favorite product for 70-year-old grannies, and just making it as easy as possible for all types of people to use the internet and buy things.
I guess it's like tempting when the whole team is presumably younger, like most of the people that you test with are maybe younger. Like, have you tried to do like user testing with like older people to see how they're using it?
It's how we think about like fonts and simplicity and ease of use when we're looking at designs. It's like making sure that it looks almost like stupid simple, right? It's like another thing I think a lot about is simplicity of products. And I think it's way harder to make a product that's simple than one that's more complex. A lot of that is because when you get bigger companies, especially, people are often rewarded for shipping new products or making things more complicated because they feel like they're doing work, when a lot of times it may be better for the business to reduce the number of products or reduce menu items or whatever. But when you get really big, a lot of people have their specific button or drop down or whatever. So it's a lot easier to make things more complicated. And it actually takes a lot of thought and work to be like, we need to stop doing this, or we need to remove this or make this more simple.
I mean, that's like the cynical view on it, but there's the other side of it as well, where like, when you're 1,000x bigger, that like 0.5% edge case is now like 20,000 people are hitting that, right?
Yeah, like, for sure.
Like way more people are requesting these advanced features. Yeah, I often think like products should have like, think a little bit more about like exposing complexity over like time or like when necessary rather than upfront. I think that's like, you know, with Mercury, I've always thought about us as like a power user bank. Like, I don't want to be like this. I want it to be very simple, but I want it to be very powerful, which is a harder challenge in some ways. Like, if you're just like, I'm not going to do 99% of features, that's easier, but you know, then people don't get those. And especially with banking, like, there's an expectation you get like everything. So you did this like really interesting video which showed off FAST, and a hoodie kind of instantly showed up in someone's hand, which is kind of like a consumerish kind of angle on like a B2B startup. How do you think about, I guess, content and brand and how you position FAST?
Dom and I have done some interesting things, I think, over the past 6 months. We'd started sort of with employee testimonial videos because we were doing a lot of hiring and just talking about FAST. And yeah, we ended up hiring a videographer, full-time videographer, pretty early on. So we've been able to do a lot of like cool content and videos, and I think we're gonna think about podcasts and other things as well. For me, I think brand is really important, because I think to build a big company, you have to have a lot of brand awareness, and there's a lot of sort of noise in the ecosystem, and also you have to repeat the same message sort of over and over again, so you're sort of top of mind when people think about a problem or an area. So it's like sort of a lot of repetition, but I think we've had fun with it because both consumers and retailers are so excited about sort of like the idea of this product that it's really easy to sort of like pitch and sell. And we've just had a lot of fun sort of like being more creative on the content side. And we did a webinar a couple of weeks ago that got a lot of views and traction as well. So thinking sort of like outside the box ways to sort of build our brand both with retailers and consumers.
Do you still have a full-time videographer?
We do, yes.
Wow.
He's incredible.
It's funny because we have this like ongoing joke at Mercury that we should get a embedded videographer, but we've been making that joke since we were like before we kind of raised A and stuff like that. But you actually did it, so that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, he joined in I think November or December. It was pretty early on. Yeah, it's been great. He does photography too, so he does a lot of the photography stuff that we're doing. And now that we haven't been in the office, he's like learned a lot about animation and like sort of built his skill set up as well. So
what's a company or product that you've used like in the last month or two that you were like really excited about?
I discovered a company I think this week or last week called Timeline App. It's based in the UK, but it's a wealth management dashboard for investment advisors. So I've done a lot of research in sort of like the investment advisor personal finance space. And I know Vyze just raised a bunch of money from Sequoia, and there's Dave Duffield actually is building a company called Ridgeline in Tahoe that is building like a similar thing, like Workday for investment advisors. But I think this company called Timeline has some really unique dashboards and user experience things that I haven't really seen before.
Are you thinking about it from like an investment perspective or you want to use it?
Probably both. Obviously, I always have an investor mindset. I do a lot of personal finance stuff. So before I started investing in startups, I taught myself all about stock, got pretty into sort of like the stock market. And that's how I got interested in tech as well. But now I helped a lot of my family set up investment accounts. And it's like really a pain to try to log into everyone's Vanguard account and like track all of this stuff. And a lot of these user flows are not really great, track people's retirement assets holistically. So I think it's meant for investment advisors, but as a advisor for my family, I really want to use it also. So maybe I can convince him to give me access.
What's the most embarrassing moment you've had while fundraising?
One interesting story is Stephanie Cohen from Goldman Sachs is actually just investing in our angel round. And I remember we'd met Stephanie because I know David Haber, who works at Goldman Sachs, and Dom and I were in New York in December, and we did something like, I don't know, I created this insane schedule where we've had like 30 meetings or something in 4 days. It was like, we were just like back to back nonstop all over the city, but we were at Goldman Sachs on one of the high level floors and talking with David and going down in the elevator, and Stephanie is his manager, and she shows up by the elevator, and David says, "Oh, this is Dom and Allison. They're building one click checkout." And Stephanie goes, "Oh, just this past day or past week, I needed to buy some, like they didn't have something on Amazon for my son. So I had to buy it on this other website, and it was so annoying." So she understood it like immediately, which I thought was really awesome. And then she's going to angel invest as well.
Nice. Did she make a commitment right there in front of the elevator?
No, I've followed up with her more recently, but she also got some other women from Goldman Sachs to invest as well. So it's kind of fun.
Thanks for taking the time, Allison. This was great. Do you have, if someone wants to reach out to you, anything like that, what's like the best way?
Twitter and LinkedIn are probably the best ways to reach me. So.
All right. Awesome. Thanks for taking the time.